You're in the 06010.
Welcome into Fantasy Focus CSS DFS. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico and see all the ways that you could save. Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, and our good buddy Al Zeidenfeld hanging out with you to get you all set up for the week 4 DFS slate. Mike, I've already talked to you a little bit today doing the season-long show, so I already know how you are. So, Al, I'm going to ask you.
I'm great, by the way, for the people watching who didn't see that show.
Didn't ask the first time. Al, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm a little under the weather. You know, like when you go to the movies and you get that big tub of popcorn and you say, this is going to last me the entire movie, but it doesn't only last to the end of the first preview. That's me with cough drops this morning. So I'm going to do my best to power through this show because I'm a gamer, Daniel.
You know, you are a gamer and I appreciate that. However, the analogy is an odd one for me because I've never once been able to eat an entire thing of popcorn. I would feel so sick to my stomach if I did that, Al. So maybe you do. Maybe you got some secrets you need to teach Mike and I.
Yeah, that is bizarre. You get this huge tub that's overflowing and I eat maybe 10% of it. Exactly. That's all of us. All four of us do. We all eat some of it and it's still almost completely full.
Yes.
It's like someone just keeps refilling it. Yeah. I don't know how you eat that much popcorn.
I love it. Well, hopefully you start feeling better, buddy. We are going to get people set up for this week's DFS slate. Mike, you're going to do cash lineups. Al, you're going to do tournament lineups. I'm going to keep everything on track. Week 3 recap. We're going to be quick on this.
Yeah.
I beat Mike 111. To 105, it was a tough week. We both had David Montgomery in our lineups, and that crushed us because what happened when David Montgomery went out, Mike?
So we liked him. He had a good matchup. He was underpriced, and you know he came out, had a couple decent plays, and then, he gets hurt in his backup. Is the number one scoring fantasy running back for the week, Khalil Herbert. So that was a bad break. It's my second one in a row. I had Trey Lance 2 weeks ago. So 2022 season in fantasy, it's been really bizarre than usual. And it's been even worse for me on a DFS from a DFS standpoint. Just brutal luck on these lineups so far. But we're gonna get it right. Well, regression to the mean. I've used that term before.
You have.
I think we're gonna get back on track.
It's tough to lose your quarterback in week 2 and then still have a successful week, and then lose your running back in week 3 and then have that guy's backup be the number one running back.
That hurts. That did not feel great watching that unfold last week.
Shout out to Rosburrow 189.2 points. I always feel good whenever we have low numbers and the high for the week was less than 200. It was just a tough week all
just
the way
a down
around.
Week. That's our excuse. Yes.
Join our free league over at DraftKings. It will be free to enter again this week. Mm-hmm. Mike Clay, $1,000 in prizes. Mm-hmm. Follow at Mike Clay NFL and at Daniel Dopp. We will tweet out a link to the league. We will not tweet out how much money is available. That's only for you that is available here on this podcast.
Right.
All right. Let's dive into our week 4 slate at quarterback, Mike, and you are starting at the top.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a deep sleeper here. Josh Allen. Have you heard of Josh Allen?
Never once.
Yeah. We're going to pay up this week. I thought about some of the, you know, maybe punting a little bit because it was kind of a hard week to construct
a
lineup.
We don't punt in DFS. It's quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and punters. Tight ends. There's no punters. Yeah.
What about fullbacks? Can I use that?
Defensive
tackles.
Yes, you can do fullbacks.
All right. So anyway, there are some cheaper discount options if you want to spend up at other positions. You can do that. But I decided Josh Allen, really good and not priced up in a way that was intimidating, right? He's 8,400. That's only $100 more than Lamar Jackson. That's only $200 more than Jalen Hurts. It's not that much for a guy who, you know, is such a tremendously high floor and obviously a huge ceiling. He has 30 or more DraftKings fantasy points in every game this week, 10 total touchdowns. He's hit the 300-yard passing bonus twice. And he's 8 or more carries twice. Gosh. I mean, again, just the floor, the ceiling combination is tremendous. And did you catch that Ravens-Dolphins game a few weeks ago?
You know, I think
did you see what happened in that one?
I think the Bills ran 90 plays and scored
2 weeks ago.
Oh, no, 2 weeks ago.
The one where the Ravens-Dolphins, where the Dolphins
didn't
had
they score like 180
passing
points?
Touchdowns?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the Ravens in total have allowed the third most fantasy points to quarterbacks. It's not only that game. The two had 6 touchdowns. They've allowed 300-plus passing yards in all 3 games so far. So on top of what Josh Allen already brings to the table, he is a terrific matchup here. I'm going to put him in my cash lineup. Feel pretty good about it. I'm going to get close to 30 points, and I'm going to start there.
Going to feel safe with that. Yeah. I mean, it's tough to be able to argue with Josh Allen with the way he started, and like you said, everything with this Ravens defense.
Right.
Al, from a tournament perspective, usually this is the point of the show where you come at me and you're like, I'm going to play someone against the Detroit Lions because the Lions are bad at everything. But this week, buddy, you've gone and redeemed yourself because you're streaming Jared Goff, $5,900 against the Seattle Seahawks. Why do you like Jared Goff this week?
Because the Seahawks are worse than the Lions.
And that's right.
The Seahawks are allowing
A new bar has been set. You've moved up one rung.
So the Seahawks are allowing a league high 12.7 yards per completion this season, and they have the third worst third down defense. So like Detroit should have a way to stay on the field, and Goff throws the ball through one guy. There's also value at running back for him. They call that a tease. And then there's other players like Josh Reynolds, who's playing well. Hockenson's a value. Like there's places you can go, and they're going to attack through the air. This is just a great spot for Jared Goff, which also allows us the opportunity to pay up for some of those secondary pieces from the Baltimore and Bills game, where you can get them as a secondary stack to give you access to that game with having a quarterback that's like $2,000-$3,000 cheaper.
Yeah. I'm really interested to see who your two options are to stack with Jared Goff. Obviously no DeAndre Swift in this game. Jamal Williams is likely going to take over. So some of that pass catching role that normally goes to DeAndre Swift going to go somewhere else. All right. A couple of the quarterbacks that we like, Mike, you already mentioned Jalen Hurts, and it's tough to fault Jalen Hurts on anything. He's been phenomenal to start the year.
Yeah. Maybe a tough matchup. Jacksonville looked really good against Justin Herbert on the road last week. But Hurts obviously runs a lot, which helps him.
Yep. Geno Smith, $5,400 on the other side of the Detroit Lions game. And Marcus Mariota, $5,600. Been utilizing his legs a little bit this year so far.
No, probably not as much as we thought, but I think he's two games with two passing touchdowns, right? He's had a couple good fantasy games. I believe he's 12th in fantasy points. So I thought about using him. He was, if I was going to go cheaper quarterback, I was going to go with Mariota. So a guy to consider if you want to go that direction.
You want to go that way. Yeah. All right. Let's talk running backs, Mike. And in spite of everything that happened last week with David Montgomery, you're going back to Khalil Herbert because it makes you feel so good inside this week.
Yeah, if it were up to Matt Eberflus and the Bears, I think they just run every play, right?
Seriously.
They are off the charts run heavy this season. Yep. I don't know if it can sustain, but we're 3 weeks in and they just continue to run the ball as much as possible. We have to keep an eye on this one. Granted, David Montgomery is not out yet. Frankly, he's not even doubtful yet. He's considered day-to-day, but it's looking unlikely, right? So I'm going to go with Herbert for now. $5,700 here against the Giants. He is the 22nd price running back. Again, he was the top scoring running back last week, filling in for David Montgomery. 22 touches, almost 170 yards, two touchdowns. And I look back to last season. There was a four-game stretch where Montgomery was out. Herbert filled in 18 or more touches in all four games, averaged 97 yards per game. Not a lot of receiving work, so he was RB18. But again, at $5,700, he'll take that kind of mid-range RB2 production if that's worst-case scenario. And obviously, he looked better than that last week. The Giants, by the way, good matchup. That's another important piece to this.
Yep.
Most fantasy points over expected to running backs. They've allowed 75 plus scrimmage yards to four running backs. Daniel, how many games have they played?
Three
games. Yeah. They've allowed 75 plus yards to four different running backs already. Second worst yards per carry. Fourth worst yards per target to that position. I think Herbert in a really good spot if he gets to start here.
Really good spot. Yeah. Obviously, continue to monitor everything that's going to be happening with this Bears backfield fantasy football now on Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Inactives come out at 11:30, so check in then. We will talk about it. Al, you want to talk about Jamal Williams, the backup running back for the Detroit Lions, who in season long is a top 10 running back in spite of splitting time with DeAndre Swift, and now there's no DeAndre Swift.
Yes. So he steps into a higher volume role and volume over everything, right? And like we said, the Seahawks are not good. They are a below average team in preventing yards both before and after first contact. That's not great, Bob. They've also allowed 13 red zone trips, which is tied for third most in the league. And if you look at the schedule, it's not like they've played some juggernaut offenses. They've played the Broncos, who can't move the football consistently at all, and the 49ers in the game where Trey Lance went down. Like, and they've also played the Falcons. This is not a good defense, and I really think that Detroit is going to exploit that. And in his career, when getting over 15 touches in a game, Jamal has averaged 102.5 yards from scrimmage and 0.7 touchdowns per game. This is a great spot. Everybody's getting on him. He is going to be uber chalk this week, and it's kind of okay.
Is it okay in cash games to be uber chalk on someone that's also...
Yeah, there's a reason people are chalking. It's usually because they have such a high floor, right? And so in cash, I play a lot of chalk guys in cash, and that's just fine if you're trying to finish in the 50th percentile or higher, and that's generally the goal. There's a reason they are chalk, right? And it's because they're the best plays. You don't need to be contrarian necessarily. I will say this, though. He's 6,100. I mean, you have like James Conner, 6,300. Najee Harris is 67. Even Josh Jacobs, who's been solid, is 5,500. You know, like...
They priced him up.
Yeah. Right. And part of that is because he had four touchdowns in three games with DeAndre Swift, although Swift was limited to an extent. So fine with Williams, but I don't think you have to play him in cash. I'm not quite as aggressive as Al is, but at the end of the day, he'll be fine. You know, he'll see 15 plus touches. Craig Reynolds will play as well from Kutztown University.
I love it.
Of course, he'll be involved there as well.
All right, a couple other running backs that we like this week. Christian McCaffrey going back to the well, $8,700 in spite of how bad running backs have been. Christian McCaffrey, even though last week was a down week, has been pretty consistent for us.
Keep in mind, he had a 19% target share last week, even though it was a very low volume game for that offense. So it looks like he had 20 some carries and like what, one or two targets. They just didn't really throw the ball last week because they were ahead the whole game. But I think better days ahead as a receiver.
100 yards rushing for him last week. Need more in the passing game. Jonathan Taylor, $8,800. Saquon, $8,000 after a massive game here this week. Monday night discount here for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I think if he had that game the day before, he'd be priced up there with McCaffrey and Taylor.
Totally agree with you. Josh Jacobs, $5,500, who you mentioned. James Conner, $6,300, and Najee Harris, who you also mentioned, $6,700.
Najee Harris
taking on the New York Jets. All right, we're going to talk some wide receivers in a second, but first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on your insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV, even help with your homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, an easy-to-use mobile app, the available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is a really easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. It's simple. Go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. All right, Mike Clay, at the wide receiver position, you have Zay Jones lined up. We've watched Trevor Lawrence and this Jaguars offense kind of come alive through these first 3 weeks, but they get a tough Philly defense here. But this value, $4,200 for Zay Jones, is what you like this week.
Yeah, so let's talk through this a little bit. Zay Jones at $4,200 is the 47th price wide receiver.
That's cheap.
He is 25th in fantasy points right now. He's off to a really good start, and there's been a lot of volume there. Last week, 10 catches, 85 yards and a touchdown. Going even back, like we can extend to late last season, right? When he started to come out of his shell, maybe kind of a late career breakout. It happens sometimes. He has 8 or more targets in 6 of his past 7 games, right? And 2 of them were this year, right? So he has been used a lot. The Raiders came around to him late last season when they had to, and Jacksonville has liked him as well. He's 12th in catches among receivers. He's 4th in end zone targets as well. Actually, he has 4 end zone targets. He ranks 6th in that department. Now, you look at the matchup and you think, hey, I'm going to stay away. The Eagles have been good, right? They've been really good against receivers.
Yeah.
5.8 yards per target. That is the best. So efficiency-wise, they've been good. But here's the thing. Teams have to throw against the Eagles. They have faced the second most wide receiver targets with 77 already this season. I'm most scared of the perimeter for the Eagles. Darius Slay, James Bradbury are really good. But Zay moves around. He's going to be outside most of the time, but he does move around. Maybe a third of the time he is in the slot. We need 13 points to pay off value here. At his price point, the Eagles have allowed 13 plus points to 4 receivers already. So it's certainly attainable. It's not like it's complete shutdown because they're going to have to throw a lot. Jackson will have to throw a lot. There's no doubt. And I think Doug Peterson probably wants to win this game, I would say, going back to Philly to face the Eagles. He'll have the foot on the gas pedal the whole way. Zay Jones is a big part of this passing game.
Yeah, this could be a really fun game to be able to watch, too, with the way that this works out. Mm-hmm. So you said Zay Jones is going to be in the slot about 25% of the time. Christian Kirk spends the majority of his time there. True or false?
Yes, Kirk is in there about 80% of the time. So he'll be in, sometimes he's off the field. Zay will work inside, so they'll move him around. But again, Zay normally outside, but he will be free of Bradbury and Slay, right? He'll see Avante Maddox, he'll see some safeties, maybe the occasional linebacker. They find ways to get the ball in his hands, as we've seen so far.
And with good reason, with the way that it's worked out so far through the first 3 weeks. All right, Al, let's talk about, and I can't believe this, another Detroit Lion in Amon-Ra St. Brown this week. All right.
Yep.
He is, I don't even know how much is Amon-Ra St. Brown? 7,700?
Probably too little.
7,700.
7,700 this week. Al Zeidenfeld taking on the Seattle Seahawks, who Mike has told us before, their secondary can be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. And specifically through the slot, right? So like teams are 13 for 20 when attacking slot receivers against Seattle. And they've given up 231 yards and a pair of touchdowns to slot receivers. Now, Amon-Ra has 14 slot catches. And when you look at the rest of the Lions, they've totaled 16 slot targets. So like he's the primary slot guy on this team, 33 targets through 3 games. He should definitely eat in week 4.
Yeah, he should eat in week 4. The only thing we got to monitor is that ankle injury to make sure that he is good to go for this game. Something just watch. That's all you can do. So we'll see how the practice reports.
If he doesn't play, I don't think you should play him. If he is inactive, don't play Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Wow, I didn't prep for that. I don't know how to respond to that. I'll look into that. Yeah, I'll check the analytics, Al, and I'll get
head
back
on a swivel. You got to be nimble in this game.
All right, I'm not prepared for that one. It was on the sheet. I didn't prepare for it. Should you play a guy that's inactive? But we'll see.
Allow it for this one, but don't bring that next time, Al. All right, another wide receiver. A couple other wide receivers that we have. And it's tough to be able to argue with this. Stephon Diggs, $8,400 taken on the Baltimore Ravens for all the reasons why you mentioned with Josh Allen.
Of course, yes.
You've also got DJ Moore. Boy, this one is tough for me because you have not seen it, but $5,300 is so cheap.
Yeah, good matchup against Arizona. You could see some Byron Murphy, but it's so cheap. And I'll just throw Brandon Cooks against the Chargers in the same conversation here. Same kind of thing, right?
Yep.
The volume has been respectable, even if it's been down for more. Brandon Cooks is top 10 in targets, right? Like, he's a guy... A little foreshadowing. I could not fit him in to this early lineup. I want to try to find a way to get him, especially I'll say this. Maybe he's not safe in cash, but I would want some GPP exposure to him because as Al said earlier, volume is king, right? Mm-hmm. And he's been getting that volume and people are scared off of him. And it just takes one big play, honestly, if he keeps getting 8 to 11 targets or whatever. So Cooks is an interesting name this week. If he keeps getting this volume, he will be better.
All right. A more expensive name, CeeDee Lamb, $6,700, but still a massive Monday night discount after what happened on Monday Night Football, taking on the Washington Commanders. Curtis Samuel, other side of the game, still a ton of volume in spite of last week's low production, $5,700. Garrett Wilson, we talked about it in the first show. Interested to see only 5,400 here. He's gotten a ton of volume, but he's going to have Zach Wilson under center. Yeah. How is that going to change the way that he produces here in the field?
Right.
And then AJ Brown, $7,400, has been a monster through the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. One other punt that I it was my fault. I moved ahead to Brandon Cooks, but Richie James at 4,000. He may be probably will be the Giants' number one receiver. He's 4K. So that's a guy you can use if you need to save some money. Again, 4K, that won't cost, that doesn't cost you much.
For 2 seconds, can we just talk about what the heck is going on with the Giants wide receivers, Mike?
I don't know. They're 2-1, though, so I guess they're going to stick with it. But we need a healthy Wandale Robinson. If he's out there on waivers and a more standardly, we're talking DFS, but I feel like he's a guy to consider because in a couple weeks, he might be their number one.
He may
Kadarius Toney, I guess, bench worthy as well, but it is. This is years and years and years with the Giants receivers, man.
It's tough. All right. We'll talk tight ends next. And Mike, we have seen big production out of David Njoku in week 3. A lot of targets. Do you expect it to continue here in week 4, or do you like the price point against the Falcons?
It is the price point because I didn't think I would be this high on Njoku this week, but tight end's kind of a mess, and his pricing go up as much as I thought it might. He's only $3,700. He's the 11th priced tight end, 90% snap share. He's a full-time player, like we thought he might be when he got that extension in the offseason. 10 targets last week, career high 9 catches, had 89 yards and a touchdown, was very productive in that game against Pittsburgh. The red flag here is weeks 1 and 2, he had 39 yards and 4 catches, right? So that bothers me a little bit. It makes me a little bit nervous, but it's a good matchup. Atlanta has allowed the second most fantasy points to tight ends, top 5 pretty much across the board and what they've allowed to that position. Actually, last week's the Seahawks tight ends against Atlanta, 9 targets, 9 catches, 105 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. That was Will Disley and Noah Fant. Actually, I think Colby Parkinson, I think, had a catch too. Like, they couldn't stop him. They've struggled so far. And Njoku at this price point in this matchup, basically the number 2 target in that passing game. They're 3rd in EPA per game. The Browns offenses, there's just a lot to like, honestly, at this point. I'll lock him into cash lineups for sure.
Paying down a little bit in order to save you some money, in order to find some ways to, you know, jam some of those wide receivers that we like in there too. All right, Al, Kyle Pitts. Last week, we saw Kyle Pitts get more usage, didn't quite get into the end zone yet, still waiting for that first tutty this year. However, only $5,000, and there's an expectation that Kyle Pitts is going to continue to rebound here from you.
So I'm always looking for ways to be contrarian in tournaments, right? So, and also with players that have a ceiling, and the way that Kyle Pitts is being used, he certainly does have that 42.1% target share. Last week was 2nd in the NFL among all pass catchers. Also, if you look at the way that they're using him, he at least is seeing more explosive targets, getting a lot of air yards at tight end, and his ADOT has increased like 38%+ from where it was last year. So they're targeting him more downfield. The Browns don't blitz a lot because they have a really solid front four, and Atlanta, when not blitzed, does not get pressured a ton. So Mariota should have an opportunity here to find Kyle Pitts, and hopefully they can line him up closer to the line of scrimmage as opposed to outside, because he does better, like many tight ends, when lined up against a linebacker or a safety. And it's not about fantasy football. It's about just getting the ball in the hands of your most talented player physically. Yep. And finally, last week, they started doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
And it's about time.
That's because we manifested it, yeah. Right? All week. How many times did Field use that word?
That was the word of the week on fantasy football
now. It really was, yeah.
Let's be honest. Everyone did. The entire world wanted a big Kyle Pitts game, and we got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I just need to see him in the end zone.
Now we need a touchdown in America.
That's right.
One thing we have not happened in his career.
I love it. Okay. A couple of touchdowns. I really thought, for the record, Al, I thought you were going to go 4-for-4 and talk about TJ Hawkinson there. I was kind of bummed.
I had to break the streak. It was a combo breaker.
Well, that was three lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did three lines.
Jamal Williams and
that's Amon a recipe for disaster. That can't be good.
Hey, now, come on. We talked three Eagles. Well. That's no problem.
Yeah, that's right.
That's crazy.
It's Lions chalk week. What could go wrong?
Stop. All right. Another couple of the tight ends that we like. Speaking of the Lions, TJ Hawkinson, $4,100 taken on the Seattle Seahawks, Mike. It's still just targets. He's getting a ton of volume. Yeah. And if Amon-Ra St. Brown misses any time, you would expect him to see more there.
Yeah, 7 targets in weeks 1 and 2, and then had a touchdown last week, even if the volume is down. So, yeah, love Hawkinson.
Mark Andrews, $7,100. There's every reason ever in the world. You just always love Mark Andrews. Great price point. And Pat Freiermuth, like him, leads the NFL in target share. $4,200 taken on the Jets that can be taken advantage of this week.
Yeah.
Like him as well. All right. Let's do this. It is now time for our week 4 head-to-head lineups against each other. Mike Clay, do you want to go first? Or because I've won the last 2 weeks, do you want me to go first?
Go ahead. Or wait, how are we doing? The graphics might be up, right?
You're right. Yeah, you know what?
Let's just go first. Let's not confuse anyone.
That's fair.
All right, weekly lineup here. We're going to start with Josh Allen at the quarterback position at 8,400. Talked about him earlier. I'm willing to pay up for him this week.
Yeah, he's good.
Running backs, Damian Pierce and Khalil Herbert. Pierce just kind of fit in, you know, but he has been getting a lot of work in the running game. I'd like to see more passing work, but like him. Wide receiver, got some good ones here. Stephon Diggs, Deontay Johnson, and Curtis Samuel, as well as Zay Jones in the flex. We talked about David Njoku at tight end, and I'm punting defense. 2,300, you could do New England or Jacksonville, whichever way you want to go. I'm going with the Patriots. So more of a level, you know, a little bit of a peak, I guess, with Allen and Diggs. I have that stack in there. But otherwise it's kind of level across the board, right? It's not definitely not like a stars and scrubs unless you do Allen, Diggs and then everyone else.
Yeah.
But you could do that this week. It's kind of a tough week to set a cash lineup, but there's a way you could spend up maybe on like a Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley and go with Richie James or something, like pay way down at these other positions. This is the way I decided to go.
Well, and we'll be able to look at those tweaks and the changes we need to make once inactives come out and we see how things kind of move. Cause that could definitely move some stuff, especially with Khalil Herbert. I mean, if David Montgomery rolls, we're going to have to find another way to go at the running back position.
And you mentioned it, but if you ever want this lineup's messed up and you want to see the updated version, it will be on Fantasy Football Now Sunday morning, to your point. We'll do that during that show.
All right. My head-to-head lineup against Mike. I'm rolling with his quarterback to make it hurt that much more. Jalen Hurts, $8,200. My two running backs are going to be Khalil Herbert and Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams at $6,100 against Seattle. I'm taking the Monday night discount with CeeDee Lamb at $6,700. I got Deontay Johnson and all of that volume. I'm taking on the Jets and Curtis Samuel again on the other side of CeeDee Lamb. Didn't mean to have those two guys against each other. However, I just love the volume they're both getting.
Yeah.
Robert Tonyan, cheaper tight end, $3,500, became someone that Aaron Rodgers was looking at last week. Devonta Smith, $5,800 against that awesome, after that awesome game last week in which he just went off. And then the New England defense.
Yeah.
So we have some overlap here, obviously, with Deontay Johnson, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Herbert, a couple of people, but
yeah, it's going to come down to the stacks, right? I went Allen Diggs and paid up a little bit more for that.
I'm going Hurts and Devonta Smith.
And then you went Hurts, Devonta Smith. So whichever one of those goes off, we'll probably decide it.
I think me doing Hurts and Devonta Smith because Devonta Smith is cheaper allowed me to be able to get CeeDee Lamb where I wasn't able to get somebody else from that standpoint.
Right.
So yeah, we'll see how it works. Really excited about this week.
Yep.
Al, tournament lineups, baby. Give it to us for week 4. Help us make some money.
I think that you're going to like this lineup, Daniel. I'm going to start with a Jared Goff double stack. We're going to go with Goff at quarterback. I'm going to pair him with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Josh Reynolds, who is like second on the team or third on the team in terms of red zone targets. A lot of touchdown upside there. I'm going to bring that back with Tyler Lockett at 5,900. And then I've got a little more correlation. Khalil Herbert and Devin Singletary at running back. I don't always correlate running back to wide receiver. But then the other two spots on the lineup, Mark Andrews at tight end, trying to really access that massive ceiling. And I'm going to take the value with Richie James at 4,000, being that there's just nobody else to throw to. 6, 7, 8 targets, very much in play there. And I had enough money to pay for like the Indy defense. I may tweak this by the weekend, but that's a solid correlated tournament lineup for you.
Looks good.
It does look pretty good. Mike, do you want to allow Al to be able to tweak that through the weekend, or do we lock it in now and say he's just stuck with it?
No, you tweak it.
All right.
Unless the games are starting
fine.
Today.
You can
is
tweak
the slate
it,
starting today, Al, or is it starting Sunday at 1? Because if it's starting Sunday at 1, you have till 12:59, my friend.
Yeah, but I think Daniel wanted you to say I have to lock it in, so I'm forced to play Lions.
I think that's what it was. I just wanted to make sure.
He's like, no, Al has to play all Lions.
I would never do that to someone. I want you to sleep on this for a couple more nights.
How dare you?
And you think about what you're doing with your life.
Okay? Who are you? Think about what you're doing with your life. Lions are one of the highest scoring offenses in the league. Load up on Lions this week.
Yeah, but you're missing. I mean, look, there's analytics, and one of them is it's the Lions. That's it. That's the analytic.
Hashtag team math.
All right, that's going to do it for us here in week 4. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Follow us on Twitter at Al Zeidenfeld, at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. We love you guys. Be good to each other. We'll see you next week.
No secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.